following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's that?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's world championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Hope everybody's doing well all around the world. This is day two of Rad Mania 4. 7 days of shows leading up until the weekend's WrestleMania, where we will also have post-game wrap-up shows with Brad Shepard and I on night one and night two. It's a yearly event I like to do just to say thanks and to give everyone just a crap ton of content, which, God, you think I would have enough done already. Joining me today is a very, very special guest. He is the former WWE superstar Jackson Ryker. He is Gunner, Mr. Chad Lale. What's going on, Guns?
Man, doing good. What a great intro to your show, by the way. So many memories flashing up there. You know, I'm an 80s child, so all these things I hear, I'm like, wow, bro. So this is great. I love any kind of rewind, any kind of memories. So cool to be on today, bro. Thanks.
And thank you for being here. And I know it's a little bit long, but yeah, it's kind of a fun little thing that I put together. Because, yeah, I grew up in the same time. So, well, I do appreciate you being here. And you messaged me this morning and asked me what we were talking about. And sorry, I've been so busy. I should have told you that a few days ago. But we are talking favorite WrestleMania moments of mine, of yours. When do you remember first watching a WrestleMania? Do you go back to the beginning?
Yeah, so I think I spoke before about being a kid. A lot of the times for me, it was WCW growing up in the Carolinas.
Right.
But, you know, me and a good friend of mine, Derek, growing up as kids, we linked up together in middle school, became huge wrestling. Basically, we always like, we're going to be this great tag team growing up. You know, he kind of went a different direction. Thankfully, I continue to reach to it. But I remember we would you know, now I can say it because I'm not going to get arrested, but my uncle used to have a black box. I'd get free pay-per-views.
Right.
Nobody tell anybody. But so I remember we'd go over to the house and WrestleMania, I want to say probably WrestleMania 10 is my first memory, you know, the ladder matches and all that stuff going on. And, dude, I was capped because I didn't grow up much with WWF at the time. It was just me, WCW boy. And when I saw this, I was like, wow, man, what is this WrestleMania thing here? And it was just from then on, every single year we were together watching WrestleMania. It was like a party we would have, a cookout. My dad would do this big just gathering for me because he knew this. That's all this boy cared about was pro wrestling. So I got so many memories of Mania.
Yeah, WrestleMania 10, obviously everybody knows that for the ladder match between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. And obviously – we just lost Scott Hall a couple weeks ago. Did you ever have any contact or any interactions with Scott?
I did, man, and I'm so thankful. Like many times, obviously TNA 2009 when I started going down there. So Scott was one of those guys, you know, that was part of the main event mafia, I believe is what they called him. And he was one of those guys that was so cool with me, man. I guess maybe I don't know why we had never really met other than that, but he was just really down to earth, always giving me feedback. And I want to say Scott is one of those guys. There was a time frame there in 2010, 2011, maybe, as Hogan had come in, where they had kind of just sent me home, basically. I wasn't under contract. But I think Scott was one of those guys that vouched and said, no, we need to bring these guys back. They look like legit security is what we were doing at the time. These guys were like legit boys who could beat us up. And so, and then just other stories, the indie shows, getting a chance to cross paths with him, but then into WWE – Scott coming in as like a guest coach or coming to hang out at NXT taping. Man, he was just always so cool, always remembered me, and I found that awesome because I grew up watching Razor Ramon work, yeah. Brett, all these guys, Sean. And, man, it was just so cool how down-earth he was, you know, knowing that he had the things he had done, but just a good heart, good soul. I mean, I've heard different stories, but for me, all of it was great.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I got to meet him before he gotten clean. I met him around 2009 in Connecticut at a convention. And he was drunk and mean and angry. I mean, he treated me, you know, he treated the fans okay, but he was just in a bad mood that day. Well, sure. I got to meet him years later after DDP helped him get clean. Him and Kev were doing a show in Sparta, Tennessee, and just completely different person. Like, super chill, yeah. Super nice, you know, conversed with everybody. And I, you know, I became friends with DDP through DDP Yoga when I was in the program. And I'd see Scott around their performance center in Smyrna, Georgia all the time. So, yeah, he's just always cool and down to earth. And it's just the tale of two Scotts. You know what I mean? It's like I'm thankful and blessed that I got to meet him after the fact because I didn't have a good first impression the first time. But right. They say sometimes you don't ever want to meet your heroes, right? Because you never know when someone's going to have a bad day. Sure, sure. The other half of that ladder match, Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, in my opinion, the greatest in-ring performer of all time. Yeah. What were your dealings with him like?
So he was one of my coaches there, obviously, you know, and I did extra spots for WWE back in Lord 07, 08. He was in and out a little bit. So I would cross paths with him a little bit. But when I got to WWE, I had the privilege of, I say privilege because I'm standing with you to say he's one, if not the greatest. I mean,
yeah.
Getting a chance to sit with this man for 2 or 3 hours, watch video, you know, pick his brain, him tell us what, you know, things that may work, may not work. Dude, I sit there and I was going, man, I'm getting paid to sit here with Shawn Michaels, bro, to instruct me, basically teach me, you know. And it was just amazing. I mean, he was always down to earth. Like, we talked about our, you know, belief in Christ and all this stuff. And me and Drake, you know, your co-host for the other show or vice versa, we would do a men's Bible study on Wednesday mornings. And Sean and Road Dogg would show up most of the weeks. So just to sit there and like talk about Jesus with you, this guy that you grew up watching and loving his work, studying his work. I was like, dude, what's going on in my life? This is great. But man, he was always cool with me too. I have no bad stories of Sean. You know, we know his past problems with drugs and stuff. But man, when in WWE, he was really, really great.
Man, I'm so jealous. Like, again, yeah, again, like Scott, I didn't have the chance to meet Sean after he got clean, but I met him when he was not in the best of moons either. Right after he won the title in 96, wow. He did an autograph signing at an arena football game in Connecticut, where I used to live in Hartford. And I had the magazine cover with WrestleMania 12 with him holding up the belt. I brought that for him to sign. And he takes it and he signs. I'm like, man, I'm so glad you finally won the title. He's like, yeah, me too.
Good conversation, bro.
Yeah, that's kind of a dick response. But, you know, so I'm like, man, my hero. I'm like, he wasn't so nice. But hopefully I'll get the chance to meet him someday.
Yeah.
But I idolized him as a kid growing up. Like, he was my dude. And thankfully I got to see him get inducted to the Hall of Fame in Atlanta. Because I only live about 3 hours from there. So that was kind of cool to go full circle and just see Sean from the beginning in AWA and then get to go to his Hall of Fame and, you know, induction ceremony when he retired was just a really cool thing. And yeah. So WrestleMania 10 was your first. Mm-hmm. Did you ever attend any WrestleManias as a fan?
Dude, I was hard-headed as a kid. I had vowed since day one because, you know, we've talked about it before. 5-year-old Chad wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Right.
And they had come close to, you know, where I live in North Carolina a few times. Like, I mean, my dad or me would have had to fly or whatnot. But I had always said, I never want to go to WrestleMania unless I'm there and I'm a part of it as an employee or as a performer. Wow. So I did not. I mean, I went to a bunch of WCW, a bunch of like WWF, like Royal Rumble and, you know, King of the Ring and all these things.
Yeah.
And never went to a Mania until I was a part of the company. And I'm glad I stuck to that, but also I'm like, man, I really wish I'd have went to some of them. Stubborn and stupid and just go. But you know, man, I don't know. But I've never missed one on pay-per-view at the time.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, obviously WWE was the pinnacle for you, and especially when you wanted to get into business. So, It's just funny that you didn't, you know, you still went to WCW events. Like, did you ever think maybe I'll work in WCW one day, or maybe I'll work, you know?
I did. Dude, I had even, so graduated high school 2000, but in high school, obviously, you know, WCW kind of, what, they folded in 01, 02?
01, yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Well, I know in high school, I'd strive to go to the power plant. I was like, you know what, get out of high school and go right to the power plant. And then when I graduated high school, like, WCW was kind of on the downfall then.
Yeah.
And it just kind of put a halt on, obviously, my plans. I started working because I hadn't even started wrestling yet. But that was my goal, WCW. I was like, dude, I grew up in that. I grew up in this. But, you know, really, I will say this. Ultimately, as a child, WWF was my go-to because I was like, I want to be at WrestleMania. I want to be in a Royal Rumble. All these things that they do, those really were the moments that, you know, just as a child, I was like, man, these are – dude, this was amazing. Because, I mean, I would go back – once I started really diving into Mania, go back and watch all these old WrestleManias, yeah. WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 3. And I'm just like, there was just something different about that. The WCW did not, to me, they did not have. I mean, they had amazing crowds, amazing shows. Yeah. But when it came to Mania, it was like, wow, this is it. So
some of your fondest memories growing up at WrestleMania, like what really stuck out for you in some of the ones that you watched?
So WrestleMania, one that really sticks out to me, and I can talk about it. WrestleMania 13, you know, Bret and Austin,
yeah,
and just the fight that they had as a kid, and then Austin bleeding at the end in the sharpshooter. And as a child, I remember on the edge of my seat, don't tap out. And, you know, we all know he faded and passed out.
Yeah.
And as a child, dude, I was like, man, this is amazing. 'Cause I was a big Bret Hart guy, but more of an Austin guy at the time, because Bret was this anti-American, so it made me yeah. mad. But that one stands out so much. And then I remember WrestleMania 17, the Triple H, because I was a big Triple H fan, Triple H and Undertaker match that they had. And, dude, just another one where I was on the edge of my seat, and, you know, Hunter gets pulled up into the power bomb and smashes him with the sledgehammer. And I'm just like, man, those matches were amazing. Cause yes. You didn't know, you know, Taker was undefeated still at the time. And as a kid, you're like, is anybody ever going to beat this guy? But bro, I mean, there's many memories, because I remember I got my wisdom teeth taken out right about the time WrestleMania 17 released on VHS. That's how old I was.
Right.
And that's the only thing. I was laying in bed for 3 or 4 days on painkillers as a kid. So, you know, started early, but I was eating Jell-O and just watching WrestleMania 17 over and over and over again. And the first match, I want to say, was Jericho and Regal. I think that's right. I think that was the first match. But that whole WrestleMania, to me, now I can still sit and watch. And it's one of those – you have some manias you go back and watch, like WrestleMania maybe 15. It was kind of like, hey, there's some good matches here and there. Yeah. Some of them are kind of hit or miss. 17, to me, was like a complete package. Just like WrestleMania 19, you know, with – Sean and Jericho.
Yeah.
No, is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
So those are complete packages, me. Even WrestleMania 18, you know, The Rock and Hogan. I mean, just those, I mean, some of those manias were just, they'll never be able to match up to that, you know, now. So those blew me away.
17 is pretty much everyone's consensus favorite overall. Yeah. But you're right, man. Like, WrestleMania 18 with Rock and Hogan was just ridiculous. Dude. And I'm not a big Jim Cornette fan because he's so, so blue and just, he's a nut job. But I listened to his watch along of the Hogan Rock match, and he broke it down and explained the little nuances in that match and how, you know, each, you know, Rock and Hogan changed, you know, babyface and heel several times throughout the match, and just kind of called it on the fly after the crowd response, and just, you know, not being a worker, but listening to somebody that knows that much about the business and listen to him, you know, talk about everything that I didn't even realize was absolutely fantastic. And that may go down as being, you know, one of the greatest matches of all time.
Dude, if you sit, so we sat in which we called it skull class in NXT, which we would sit and watch videos. So we watched that with Terry Taylor one time, as he wanted us to watch it, to just watch the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
What really, to me, I mean, I can say that it's missing in today's wrestling. It's more like the crowd wants to be a part of the show.
Yes.
But anyway, whole new start. But we're watching that, and I just remember going, man, this is awesome. Like, just to watch these people, they're captivated. They were on the edge of their seats. They were standing and screaming and all this. And I remember asking The Rock, we got a chance to talk with him one time at the Performance Center. was like, what is one of your fondest memories of being in this business? And that was one of them. And he said, that was a match where they, like you said, swapped roles. And Hogan there at the beginning basically tells Dwayne Rock, he goes, just listen to me, let's roll. And yeah. I was like, wow, man. Yeah. And he said he did. He goes, you know, I'm a kid. I was growing up watching this man. And he goes, he led the whole match. And I was like, dude, that's so cool to hear stories like that.
And at that point, I mean, Rock wasn't really a newcomer. I mean, he'd been around for several years. So for him to kind of freak out and not know what's going on because nobody expected the crowd to react that way, it's just you just never know what's going to happen in the business. And thankfully, he was there with a seasoned vet, you know, like the Hulkster. To carry, you know, to walk him through that match. But man, you mentioned Jericho and Michaels, one of my favorite matches ever, as well in Seattle. You know, those guys killed it at 19. And, you know, you had Hogan and McMahon at that point, which I just did a watch along of that. And I'm like, that match was sick. The crowd ate up the entire thing. There's no better heel in the business than Vince McMahon.
Is that the WrestleMania 19? You may be correct. You can correct me here if I'm wrong. I want to say that was Triple H and Booker T also.
Correct.
Is that
correct?
That was another one too that it's some people forget about, but that's just another complete package WrestleMania where you go, man, every single match was off the charts, yeah. Dude. And those are, yeah, but the Hogan and McMahon one was just this story, like McMahon peeping over the ring apron like this demon. And you're like, yep. There's just moments there that only Vince, I mean, you know, we could say Vince is crazy or whatever, the older he gets, but I mean, he envisions these camera shots where people remember yeah. these shots. And that's one of them, dude.
That absolutely is. And Roddy Piper showing up out of the blue, you know, was just the story was fantastic. And then Shane coming in at the end to kind of, you know, clean up his dad after Hulk left him in a bloody mess. And, you know, the kind of showdown between Vince and Shane, you don't know what's going to happen. And they just kind of looked at each other in like a sign of respect or whatever, but. And then Vince just flipping Hogan off as he leaves. It's just, that's typical Vince. I mean, that's just, you know what I mean? Like nobody knows his character and his business better than him. So for me, WrestleMania 14 is a soft spot because that was in Boston. I was able to go to that event and that's where Shawn, well, we thought was going to be Shawn's last match, because of the back injury. And from where I was sitting in the crowd, I couldn't tell that Shawn was that hurt, but watching it back, on video and just seeing like the grimacing on his face and how much pain he was in from that and still put on a ridiculous match with Steve Austin. Dude, you got to give Shawn all the credit in the world for, you know, just gutting out and still giving the fans a show.
Yeah. We talked to Shawn about that match. It's really cool. Like I said, when we got a chance to sit with him in class and he still says to this day, man, I wish I could go back and give Steve 100%.
Right.
Cause that match, he goes, obviously, you can even watch it as a fan and go, man, you know, Shawn, he bumped his tail off, but it was one of those where you go, no, he wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
And but he said he was in excruciating pain. And even like, I mean, you think the backdrop from when he originally got hurt, I guess, landing on that casket, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And you look at it and go, man, that didn't look that bad, but I guess the way it hit, and you could tell, I remember even as a kid growing up watching that Mania going, ooh, he's not feeling well because he is, well, at that time, he was in a different place, too. So he was bending over and cussing and all that. that's cool that you were there live, though, man. That's really sweet.
Yeah, that was a really good event. A Taker and Kane. It was the first Taker and Kane match together. And just the whole spectacle, the entrances and the druids with the fire and Taker's walking underneath. It's like, man, there's just nothing like an Undertaker entrance. Were you always captivated by him?
Always. As a child, I was scared there for a while as a little boy.
Yep.
Then the older I got, I was like, you're right. His interest has just got more elaborate. But he was just that character that – and even he's getting a little bit more open now. I've always like, man, I hope he writes a book.
A lot open, here. Really. With
Man, but he's – but, yeah, as a child, he was one of those that you didn't – like, as a kid, I would go stand at the gate at the end of the night where they parked, and sometimes I'd get a chance to meet Bret Hart or whoever it was, but you never saw Undertaker.
Right.
I remember one time I'm driving in Greensboro, North Carolina to go to, I want to say Unforgiven, where he had a match with, I can't remember anyway, but I remember we're in the line driving to get in and you see like two cars blazing by and one of them's Undertaker in a seat. I'm like, that's a real man. He's driving a car, you know? So it's like just those moments as a child, but always even getting a chance to just speak with him in WWE. I'm not intimidated by anybody, any means, you know, I talk like a man, but he's one of those that you like, you hold respect.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, he's the Undertaker. I mean, you give him respect. So funny thing is, and gosh, when is it? May, sometime in May, I'm speaking at a church in South Carolina. I'm going to be present, but I believe from what I hear, Undertaker is doing like a huge Zoom in where he comes in and speaks to the church as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be kind of sweet if that really takes place. So I'm interested about that.
I've heard rumblings of Taker possibly, you know, being saved or being a Christian. I've seen videos of him with a pastor in Texas when he really started to do kind of the shoot stuff when he's about to retire. Yeah. You ever talk to him about any of that, or do you know anything about that?
No, really. The couple of times I've talked to Taker was a few times at the Performance Center and then passing by in the locker room to shake his hand, thanking him, you know, pretty much. And he was always, you know, around Johnny Ace or Vince or somebody. So you don't really bug him. But right. I mean, he's always approachable. But yeah, when it came to Faith, really only Sean, Road Dogg, a few others. Sting, when I was in TNA, you know, those guys I spoke with. I'd love to. So I'm hoping that night, maybe. I wish he was going to be there live. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But still, it's going to be awesome.
So, funny story, I actually had the chance to meet him as a kid, and I think I was 13 or 14. It was in early 91. He had just come in at Survivor Series that November before, and it was in Windsor Locks, Connecticut, across from Bradley Airport, and I used to bowl over there, junior leagues, on Saturday mornings. Well, he must have been in town for a house show in Hartford. And they stopped at this place called Papagino's, which is right next to the bowling alley. So my friends and I got done bowling. We went in there for lunch, and we saw Hacksaw in there. And I mean, huge, just barrel-chested. I've never seen anybody so just massive. Jimmy Hart was there, and even to us, like, he was tall. Like, he was very, very sweet. Well, Taker was there in his Ribera jacket, eating a tuna sub or something like that. And none of my friends were... wanted to approach him because, you know, he was a bad guy at that time and he was super evil. And like, we didn't know anything about it. He was a dead man. So I was the only one that had the guts to go up to him. And I had a piece of paper and a pen. I said, "Mr. Undertaker, sir, can you please sign my autograph?" And he sat there for a second. He put a sandwich down, thought about it. And I mean, this is what, you know, when kayfabe was still around, right? Like, you know, the good guys sat across from bad guys. They wouldn't intermingle with each other.
Good.
And he was sitting with the Nasty Boys, and Hacksaw was sitting off by himself. But he finally just took the paper, took the pen, wrote "Rest in Peace, The Undertaker," and just handed it back to me. I said, "Thank you," and he just kind of grunted or whatever. God bless him. Like, deep down inside, like, he was a super cool dude, and he knew this kid just, you know, he just wanted an autograph.
Yeah.
And he kind of broke kayfabe by doing it, so... but the Nasty Boys, they didn't care. They were like, "Hey, kid, how you doing? You go on the show tonight?" Blah, blah, blah. So they were all cool, and Hacksaw has always been cool anytime I ever met him. But I got to meet Mark when Glenn Jacobs Kane was running for the mayor of Knox County a couple years ago. And Taker, as you know, never did personal appearances before that, ever. No. Like, never did autograph signings, never did conventions. Well, he was there because Glenn's obviously his friend, and he thought he'd help him out and make an appearance. So I got to meet both of them, and I had this is God's honest truth. The first cover Taker ever did in WWF Magazine, I had two copies of, and I didn't even realize it. One I had opened, one I kept still sealed to when it was shipped to me in my house. I opened it for the first time that night in front of him and showed it to him. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Dude, this is the first time I've ever opened this. I've had it for 30 years. He's like, "God, that's pristine. That's amazing." And he signed it, took the picture with him. They actually used the picture for... their Hidden Treasure show they did at A&E with Taker, like, trying to find some of his old stuff. So actually made TV with that picture. But, you know, I heard he's shy. I heard he doesn't really, you know, he's kind of socially awkward. He doesn't really like crowds. But the two times I got to meet him, man, he was just a really cool, normal dude.
He's a normal guy, man. Yeah. That's what I hear. I mean, even, you know, some buddies in WWE that worked with him said, no, he was very approachable, like, cared about the younger guys.
Yep.
And he's one that's like, yeah, I know I've heard some rumblings from him before where he's like, "Man, this," I'm not trying to bash anything, but the new product, he's just like, "Man, we're missing so much with the new product, you know?" Yeah. And we can talk about that all day long too, but yeah, nothing but good about Taker. I'm just one I grew up loving, watching. And he's, you know, he's another one of those guys, man, that kept himself relevant always, from Dead Man to, you know, the American Bad gimmick and all these other things. He just kept transforming, and then he went back to the Dead Man and just got in amazing shape, cut his hair this time. You know, it's just crazy to see the transformation in this man.
And to be able to have that kind of a run on top. I mean, that is just ridiculous. I mean, we know about the injuries, but like, whenever he thought he was done, Vince said, "Hey, pal, I need you," and he was right there, man. Like a company dude, loyal to the just as loyal as can be. To sometimes his own detriment because he was in pain on a lot of those shows. But
you
can't ever take away from the fact that he loved the business like 1,000%. And who would have thought the guy that was most stoic and never did interviews, like I said, never did appearances, who would have thought Mark Calloway would be just blabbing all over the place, doing interviews and shoot stuff and documentaries and all that, just giving it all away. Like,
I'm so glad.
Me too, but whoever thought, like, a guy like that, like, that was the one guy that protected the business more than anybody else, and now he's just chatty Cathy. Like, it's just funny to see, right?
I know, man. I know. And if it's true, like, I know Michelle Cool, is that who, that's who he's married to, right?
Yep. Yep.
No, she's a believer, like a Jesus believer and stuff. So it's like curious. I really would love to talk to him and hear some things. Because I've seen some videos of the church, or not of the church, but him talking about Jesus and all this. I'm like, how crazy. That's it's so cool to think about. So I love it,
man. Maybe his wife rubbed off on him, I guess. I'm
telling you. Yeah. It's how the Lord works.
You ever get to meet his old manager, Percy?
I did not. Unfortunately, I did not even work in extra spots. But I know, like, I want to say Adam Pearce and all those guys knew him really well. And I heard he was the sweetest. I mean, you talked about Jimmy Hart a minute ago, the man who never ages, first of all.
Right.
Yeah. But he's the sweet, I mean, just a sweet man. And I've heard nothing but great about Percy.
Yeah, same here. Just really sucks when you lose a lot of the guys that we've had and, for whatever reason. But I always thought the funniest thing was he was actual real life mortician. Then he ended up playing in WWE.
Yeah, so. I listened to Bruce Pritchard's podcast one time about Percy, and I was like, dude, he was really a mortician.
Legit, he was a shoot mortician, man. It was just funny. Yeah, that is funny. So you said you became an Austin guy later on. Did you enjoy his matches? The three matches he had with The Rock. Do you think they were the two best in the company at that time?
So the one where Austin was hurt. What were we thinking? WrestleMania? Is that 18? Is that the one where no Rock and Hogan's 18? What was the one he had? Was it WrestleMania 17's one they had? I'm trying to think.
He had
one where Austin was hurt pretty bad. He wasn't doing too well.
I know 19 was his last match. Yep. I think 15 was the first. It may have been 17.
19 was his last one, right?
Yes. So I think when he turned heel, I believe.
Yeah. I always enjoyed Austin because, well, obviously, like I remember Austin back in WCW time too.
Right.
I mean, you go back and watch some of his work now, you're like, this guy was an amazing worker.
Absolutely.
And then when he got into WWF, he obviously picked up the Austin 316 gimmick. He changed his style because he was having knee problems or whatnot. He just came more of a brawler. I always loved watching him in The Rock because it's like, just to me, two bulls in a china shop, because you really never knew what Austin was going to do.
Right.
But so I've as a child, I've always, and even now, I enjoy the wrestling that's grummy looking and grimy looking and not pre-planned looking. So that's why I enjoyed like these Ronnie Garvin matches with Flair and Dusty and these guys. Cause it was just these two big men, two guys that look like men fighting one another. And when The Rock and Austin got together, I felt like it's what you got. You didn't get anything flashy and pretty.
Right.
I mean, the crowd was always loving either thing they did, but just seeing two guys just beat each other up. And that's what I enjoyed as a wrestling fan, Obviously, I got into some of the WCW stuff as a child, like Eddie Guerrero and Ray. Yep. But even then, it was like they were different. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, I don't know, they were flying around and there was some pretty stuff. But still, even Eddie working was like gritty.
Yeah.
Him and Benoit working were just gritty and they're brawling. So that's really what's just captivated me. So I love The Rock and Austin stuff because that's really what you always got.
And now we pretty much have, the equivalent of that right now. And that's Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Are you looking forward to the match this Sunday?
I think those that there's some stuff on the card that's going to be a good one. I think it's what is it, a 2-day event again? Mm-hmm. They doing a 2-day event.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's going to be the new norm. We talked about that when I was part of the company.
Yeah, I hope so. Not.
It's a like lot. More money. More, yes, yeah, a lot.
It's a lot, dude. I mean, I know everybody wants to get a card and everybody wants to get a payday, but in my opinion, as a fan, WrestleMania is a spot where you need to earn it and not just be part of the company. I mean, like, it's the pinnacle. It's the grandest spectacle of them all. Not everyone should make the card. No offense to everybody that works their butts off there, but it should be for the elite.
Yep,
agree. That's just my opinion, but
I think it's what we're going to see with Brock and Roman is another just gritty fight. Because when you put those two together, I mean, obviously with Brock, you're not going to get anything flashy and pretty. Right. And in Roman, I mean, that's just his style too. I mean, he can get in there and go basically with anybody. So two guys I enjoy always. I mean, especially the match they had. I want to say it was the Mania I went to live as a employee, the one in New Orleans. Is that the one where they worked the main event and Brock split his brains open basically with an elbow?
Yeah.
Was that? I believe so.
I think it was.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, oof, man, what's going to happen now? But man, I'm liking Brock's new stuff. I've always been a fan of Brock. I think it's funny people get their feathers ruffled because, oh, he only works two times a year. It's like, bro, whatever. This dude's bringing heat, or as now, I think the people love him now.
They do, and he's on like about an 8-year run now. Like, it's longer than his first run. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And now he's actually worked a lot of dates, you know, the last year or so. But seeing him as just himself, like, it's just a jacked up cowboy. You know what I mean?
Cowboy.
Yeah. It's cool to see. Did you catch his interview with Pat McAfee show?
No, I haven't yet. I need to check it out.
Really good. Really.
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I there's some of these things I'll catch, whether it's on Twitter, YouTube. Yeah. I mean, I'll check it out.
Definitely worth checking out just to see him down to earth, just his demeanor. You know, he's just really cool dude. And he loves the business too. I mean, people, you know, he's pretty out forward in saying, I'm here to make money. That's what the business is about. You know, we're all here to make money. We're not here to make friends. We're here to make money. But he does like being the old guy now, I guess, and he likes kind of mentoring people and giving back. So it was a cool different side that I haven't really seen of Brock before. And dude, Roman's on another level right now. Like,
he is, man.
He knows his character inside and out, and it's the perfect thing for him to do. I don't know how long his run's gonna go. What do you expect coming out of this match? Do you think he'll retain against Brock? Do you think, I mean, obviously Brock doesn't need a title. Brock's over as it is.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope that he does retain the title and they use it, because in my eyes, you're right, Brock doesn't need the title. And if Brock's the babyface with the title, then they're going to have to do something where he swerves into a heel to build a new babyface. But to me, Roman, like you said, dude, he's in his own world now. He knows his character, and we talked about Taker. To me, that's Roman. Like, he knows who he is. And I think Roman can be one of those guys, if they allow it, the company seem to stray away from that. But using Roman to build some new and up and coming baby face. I mean,
that's right,
man. I hope they do it that way. You never know. I mean, could they continue to push it on to the next pay-per-view or whatnot? But yeah, I kind of hope they use Brock doesn't need it. I mean, they could do some kind of crazy finish, and then Roman is used to help build another star. But you know, it's so weird. Wrestling's so weird now.
It is. Right?
Yeah. Rob, it just drives me crazy because some of the older guys from NXT, not older guys, but veterans basically from NXT, some of the veterans from the main roster have been let go or whatever it is. And these are guys that can train this up and coming, you know, new generation. And it's just, you don't see that anymore. It's like you had the guys handing the torch over to the next guy, you know, and Brett did it with Shawn, even though he didn't want to, but he handed the torch over. I mean, and you just don't see that much anymore. And I hate that, man.
You know, the only guy I could see right now that's in the system that could do that is Rick Steiner's kid, Bron Breakker. You know,
I hear he's a boss from what I've seen.
Oh, he's a stud, dude. He's such
I'm not sure how his attitude is. I mean, I've heard from some of the guys in NXT, he's got a good attitude.
Yep.
I've never met him, but, you know, I'm glad to hear that, because being a part of NXT, I'd see some of these cats come in and just had this, like, nasty attitude. I'm like, bro, that's not how you make friends in this company. Of course, once again, we're here to make money, not friends, but also don't be stepping on people who you're going to be working with, who can help push you or bury you. So
without naming names, because I don't want you to bury anybody, but I mean, were there guys that were established in the business that had been around a while and thought that, you know, they were on a different level?
No, you know, honestly, with NXT, I've said this 100,000 times, and even we've talked about it with Drake. My experience with NXT, when all these guys started coming in from Ring of Honor, from, you know, their main indie players, like, you know, Riddle, for instance,
Look,
we were a family, you know, and not saying guys didn't have egos. Cause look, being a part of professional wrestling for 22 years, I had an ego at one time, you know, but as an NXT, we had this black and gold brand where we worked together as a family. The main event guys would watch the first match and so on and so forth. And those guys would come down to the mid-card guys, like the Forgotten Sons, and say, man, that was awesome, guys. Like, you know, the chances we got to work with Undisputed on live events, just giving. They weren't, you know, eager to, of course, I mean, you probably, because you got three guys that could take up for themselves. But dude, as an NXT brand, just a big family. Now, when I got to Raw and SmackDown, one, maybe two other people I really hung and talked to, and it was just kind of very dispersed. And you could feel that, I don't know, that division in the atmosphere with certain guys. And I, but me, man, I'm in a different place in life. I just kind of was like, well, I'm going to sit over here and do my thing. When it's time for me to go, I go, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some that you're like, man, can you just stop complaining and love your job? Like, you get to do this, make all this stupid money and entertain these people, work 2 days a week at the time because of COVID. What are we complaining about?
Yeah. Really, yeah.
Anyway, that's the wrestling world, you know?
The first time I ever really took notice of you in NXT, and I can't remember the match, and maybe you could help refresh my memory, is Forgotten Sons did a run-in during, I think it was a takeover, and I want to say Authors of Pain were part of that match, and maybe the Street Profits. I don't know if that's the right match or not.
Is it? No, was it the, give me a second.
You guys destroyed everybody.
Oh, man. I don't think it was Authors of Pain, because they kind of had went to the main roster then. We did some stuff with Street Profits. Oh, dude, I'm trying to think who it was. Because I know I came in on that ladder match, that one big deal we did where I just laid waste everybody and they bashed me with the ladder. But that was a big match for the guys. I'm trying to think, man. Was it a takeover?
I thought it was. I mean, I'm almost sure. And look, I'm old. My memory sucks.
No. I'm trying to think, because I know there was a few times we come running in and laid waste. I know we laid waste to the Street Profits on one big event that got to lead up to some of the stuff we were doing with those guys. But I'm trying to think, bro. I'm brain dead right now, too.
No, it's all good. Maybe it'll come back to just text me when I think of it. But it's just, yeah. I mean, just you guys were just impressive together and just a physical force. You had a great look. It was a great gimmick. Yeah. Even his heels. I mean, you guys were just badasses, for lack of a better term. I assume you really enjoyed working with those guys.
I did, bro. And even, you know, now Blake and Cutler off doing their own things. Yeah. I mean, Blake, hands down, one of the, you know, best workers in the ring, you know, bar none. Doesn't get the credit he deserves. Cutler was always full of ideas, and then you put all three of us together. And it's just, it was really cool to be a part of that faction. I wish we could have done so much more, but, you know, obviously my tweet ruined the world for everybody, but we, but no, I love the faction. I love it because they really gave us creative control over what we wore. A lot of the times we were like, some of the promos I would have liked to have been a little more edgy, but that's just, you know, the business didn't like that much anymore, but, man, just a lot of fun. Some of the stuff we got to do with Street Profits, Hunter really enjoyed it. Cause there was like certain camera angles of me and hitting my facial features and dude, just, me getting to just annihilate people on TV. I felt bad for half of them, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. We rode together, traveled together and just kept coming up with these ideas. It was a lot of good time. We were like call ourselves like modern day Freebirds.
Yeah, really.
Really what we based it after. We started taking some of the Freebirds tag moves, you know, and just doing some of that stuff. So Carino was a huge help with us. Michael Hayes helped us a lot because obviously a Freebird.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, give us some of your stuff. He goes, hey man, I'll give you everything. You know, so just a good time, man. That was a lot of fun.
Now, I forgot to ask you about it. We talked about your tweet when you were on Drake's show, and I never asked you, did you ever have heat with Blake and Cutler over that? Because you guys got sent home for a little while, and I mean, what happened to you happened to them, so.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I had talked to him a little bit about it, and I maybe there was a little bit of there. That I'm sure they were a little upset because, you know, they got taken off TV, man. They didn't know what was going to happen. But it was one of those things like, dude, I stood my ground. I never said anything wrong. To this day, I'll say that.
Absolutely.
And no, it wasn't one of those things where they were like, you know, dude, maybe you should apologize. They never come to me like that because Blake, I mean, Cutler's a Marine. He's going to understand where I come from. Yeah. Blake's an American brother and he gets it too. But I hope not. I mean, you know, we don't talk as much now as we used to. But, you know, I've made changes in my life too. And I'm just centered in a different area. But I hope not, man. If it is, I'm sorry that I stood my ground and didn't apologize. I mean, they both, you know, their WWE career ended pretty short. I mean, mine lasted for another year.
Yeah.
But you can look at them now. Dude, Steve Macklin's out there killing it in TNA or Impact, whatever we call it now. And then Corey is doing the Control Your Narrative. And just every time I see him, he's popping out another child, first of all. And second of all, he's like I said, hands down one of the best guys. I hope I get a chance to work him one-on-one one day.
Yeah.
I love him, man. I got some mad respect for him. We shared some good memories together. I have no hard feelings towards anything. and I hope that they feel the same.
So if WWE ever called you back, if Johnny Ace gives you a call and says, "Hey, we need you back, brother," would you go back?
You know, Rob, I'm never going to say never.
Obviously, nobody ever says never in the business, but
no, they don't. But I'm at it. You know, I have my own Wrestling for the Faith podcast with my buddy Casey. Cheap plug, sorry, but we. You know, man, I'm in a different point in my life right now where I'm enjoying not being under contract. I've started working indie shows. I was in Dallas this past weekend. And there's just something about, dude, being able to go out and not be told you have 6 minutes or whatever, but, oh, we don't do that here in this company. What do you mean, have fun and wrestle?
Right.
Well, for me, bro, I mean, these indie shows I've been a part of, it's just refreshing to me because for the last 2 years of my WWE career, other than the stuff I did with Elias, I did not have fun. I felt like I was being held back. Just didn't have fun, man. You know, and I'm having a good time on the independent scene. Obviously, I ain't making the money like I used to.
Right.
But sometimes that doesn't mean anything to me. I get to spend a little more time with my wife and daughter. I get to wrestle. I get to go speak at a church. There's just things that I can talk about on my podcast now that before I had my hands tied.
Yeah.
I'll never say never, but I'm very happy with where I am right now.
And, you know, working in indies and, you know, being a former WWE, you know, contractor and, you know, being on TV all the time, I'm sure it helps you get a better, you know, price when it comes to booking and all that. So thankfully, you know, you're covered in that area, but you're also not on the road, you know, doing house shows, you know, you're home most of the week. So, I mean, it is a cool thing to be able to do what you love. And still be able to have the freedom to kind of call your shots and still spend time with your family and all that. So, yeah, that's a really good place to be in. And you're right. I don't think I wouldn't want to go back to that negative just, you know, culture that's going on right now.
Man, it's wild right there. It's from what I hear, even buddies that's still there, they're like, man, it's so weird right now.
Yeah.
And you see it. And I felt it when I was there. It's like 1 minute, you know, these guys were all buddy-buddy to me in the office per se. And then after my feud with Elias, it was like, who is that guy over there? Oh, that's Jackson Ryder. Like, just like, what is going on right now? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't play mind games. I'm a 40-year-old man that served in the Marine Corps. Like, dude, just let me work or let me go home. So, yeah, I'm very happy. It's really cool, too, man. I won't get on a rant here, but to go to Indies and talk to some of these kids. I had a 19-year-old kid come up to me a few weeks ago and go, hey, man, I just want to thank you for your, you know, just your devotion to the business. Like, you're a reason I'm a wrestler. And I'm like, am I that old now? Oh, wow. But, and then just going to Texas this weekend, having fun, calling things on the fly, not having everything mapped out, listening to the people, like,
man, old school, dude, old school wrestling.
And that's what I love. I don't do high flying stuff. And I'll tell you guys straight up, bro, I ain't coming off top rope. And they're like, oh, it's completely okay. I did a show a few weeks ago in Georgia, me and Casey, my podcast host, against Nikita Koloff. He was the manager, but his Koloff dynasty. Mm-hmm,
yes.
Bro, we went out there to work for 25 minutes. And literally, maybe at the back, we had the finish planned. But the rest of it, just flying by the seat of our pants. And I'm like, that's what I love, and that's what I missed.
Those kids are good, too. They are really good.
The crowd was amazing. It was a Christian wrestling promotion. So we just, you know, obviously the Americans right now, everybody hates Russia, you know, whatever. Yeah.
It's come full circle, man. Like, it's come around again. It's funny that the Russians are back. Like, I remember... You know, when Nikita and Hacksaw teamed up and, you know, America and Russia were coming together, and now Russia's the bad guy again. So, okay, brother, bring out the flag. So, and Nikita's great, too. Like, I had him on my show a couple years ago. Super, super great, dude. Hopefully I'll get to see him again one day. But, he's awesome, dude. I almost went to his man cap with him and Lex, but I just couldn't work out the scheduling. But that's a cool thing that they do, too.
Mm-hmm. Me and actually Casey and I are doing it at the end of April.
Are you?
It's because that's the first time my schedule has allowed me to.
Yeah.
Really excited about it. I mean, I've heard nothing but good, man. So I will say, after I get done going, I'll probably call you and go, dude, you need to go to this. Cause it's changed a lot of people's lives, man. Yes. And what Nikita does, I know him personally. I've done men's Bible studies with him for 6 months. I've had dinner with him. I mean, a good friend of mine, and he's the real deal. He is the real deal when it comes to his faith, when it comes to his love for the business and just other men caring about, you know, just seeing men grow basically. So I'll keep you posted, bro. I'm stoked.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he does it twice a year too. I think he does it like in the spring and the fall. So
yes. not so hot. We got to worry about it. So we're excited.
Definitely let me know how that goes. So as we wrap it up here, let's circle back to WrestleMania a little bit. I do want to talk about your involvement professionally. What were you doing in some of the WrestleManias? Were you just there as an extra? I forgive me if I don't remember if you had a match or not, but you didn't. Okay.
No, I didn't. So the WrestleMania I told you about in 2000, was it the one in New Orleans, 2019, or was that 18?
Okay. Either way, don't ask me dates.
You were there. NXT was 2018, because 19 ended up being in New York, I want to say.
Okay.
Anyway. So 18, we were there in New Orleans. NXT was just allowed to sit kind of in the crowd, kind of behind the hard cam. Then, so that's all we did there. Then the one in New York was there in attendance. The one I got to be a part of was our first live one back there in Tampa, the two-night event. Luckily, it was the first night, because the second night was like massive rain delay. Yeah. But that was the night Elias and I come out, and Braun and Shane were having a cage match. We scale the cage and all this stuff.
That's right.
So, man, I remember just in the back, you know, all these guys, Hogan, coming up to Hogan and him remembering me from TNA and just shaking my hand, saying, "It's good to see you here, kid."
Wow.
You know, a man I idolized. But I remember standing on the ramp when I started singing America the Beautiful, I believe is the song they do.
Yep.
And, bro, I'm sitting there seeing all these people, and I'm just getting these cold. I started crying, honestly. I'm glad I wasn't on camera, because I'm a baby. You know, me, a man of faith, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for this. This is so cool. As a five-year-old kid. And then that night, you know, it had rained. We're having to run through the crowd on these like slippy plastic grates that's over the turf.
Yeah.
And me and Elias are trying to kill ourselves. But then climbing that cage and getting knocked off the cage and the crowd roaring. And that's my WrestleMania moment. No match. But sometimes those are like, you know, those are going to be remembered.
Yeah.
Me just to be a part of a mania, man, was like, man, this has come full circle for me. I hate I can, you know, I say I can, I never had a match. But dude, I got to be a part of a mania. I mean, there's a lot of people who can, they're never going to be able to say that, you know? So that was a really fond memory for me. The other ones, I was just there getting to witness this massive, you know, spectacle that is WrestleMania. And then getting to be a part of the first one back from, you know, COVID lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just incredible, man. I hate the weather was terrible, you know, cause the performers, some of them got gypped the next night, but dude, it was so cool to be a part of that.
And again, growing up a fan, and then, you know, you're in it. Number one, you stuck to your promise. So you're, you know, you were in the business and you got to go. But number two, like just still being a fan, like, did you mark out for any of it?
Oh, every single bit of it. Dude. I mean, just to be a part of that match with Shane, because as a kid, I can go and say I watched the King of the Ring where Shane and Kurt Angle. I mean,
yeah,
dude. Those are moments I remember Shane, even now at gosh, whatever age he is, still going out there and giving literally his body.
Yeah.
So dude, just to be a part of that, getting a chance to see Edge come back and work at a mania and man, just some of the amazing guys I worked with there, and just to see their love for it's WrestleMania. We're going to go out there. We're going to give it all because these people are finally live. And yeah, man, I count my blessing as that I'm a lucky man to be able to say I'm a part of that.
That's really cool. And that's what you do. I mean, Drake never had a match, but, you know, he was able to referee the match, you know, Ronda Rousey's first match with Kurt against Triple H and Stephanie. And that's a moment he'll always take with him forever. So
ask Drake about his payday for that match sometime. See if you tell
him. I will.
So listen real quick. It was awesome when you're part of NXT, because you go in and do these big shows there, you get legit a big payday.
Right.
But as part of the main roster talent, when you go to Mania, it all just goes into this lump sum royalty thing, so we never see any of it.
No kidding. didn't know that. That's good. That's fun to know. I bet that didn't happen back in the day when Hogan was running the cards.
But. Oh, no. But still, as a child, I'm like, dude, I got to be a part of WrestleMania. My buddy made me he does wood art. Mm-hmm. He made me like this WrestleMania. I'm looking at it now, WrestleMania 21 with the pirate logo, WrestleMania, and it has my name and the date. And I'm like, I'll always remember that, dude. So it's kind of cool for me.
That's awesome. So obviously no regrets when, you know, if your career were to end today for whatever reason, or you just felt like you want to step away, no regrets?
None at all. The only thing I wish I could have been a part of, and it wasn't my fault, was as a child, I loved Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to be in one. But man, I've had some fun, Rob. Like, yeah, if good Lord said, all right, tomorrow you're done, put the boots up. Dude, I've got a chance to be in the ring with Hogan, Sting, Flair, so many of these guys I grew up watching. Some of them I got to work with, you know, even as a kid, like Bill Eady, you know, Demolition.
Yeah, yep.
These guys, like, dude, I've just got a chance to be a part of something cool. That's just, I mean, I don't know, bro. I'm lucky, lucky man. So, no, I have no regrets.
Have you been able to just sit back and reflect, like, man, like, how did I ever get in this position? Like you said, yeah, working with the greatest of all time, you know, guys you grew up with, like, obviously you never took it for granted, but I mean, just kind of look back and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think I need to one day just sit somewhere and do reflect. But there is times I've sat back and went, dude, I've had a really sweet career.
Right?
You know,
yeah.
Little 5-year-old boy from Hickory, North Carolina. I mean, most people are like, what's that? I mean, the greatest thing I did in my life was join the Marine Corps because it got me out of that little town.
Right.
And that's where I started training. So a kid from Hickory, North Carolina, you know, went out and fulfilled his dream. That's just, to me, it's a testimony to anybody listening that it doesn't matter where you're from. Don't ever take no for an answer, because I got told all the time, dude, you'll never make it. I got made fun of in school because I loved, quote unquote, fake pro wrestling. I got told one time at a job, look, I don't think we want you working here anymore because, you know, you leave for the weekends to wrestle. And this boss man told me, you're never going to make it. Like, literally, that's his words. And I just went, I looked at him, I said, I'll remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So to sit back and think about those things, I'm like, dude, I have nothing to complain about. I got a lot to reflect on and be thankful for.
That's awesome. And no better way to end that. So, I mean, just you're the American dream, brother. I mean, you got to serve your country. You get to serve your Lord, and you get to, you know, be an entertainer. Like,
so cool.
That's the dream, brother, right?
Yes, sir. It is, man. I'm blessed for sure.
So I'm going to be able to meet you coming up here in April.
Yeah.
McDonald, Tennessee, I believe it is.
McDonald, Tennessee, yeah, for Global Championship. No, it's Global Wrestling Ministry. Sorry, my buddy Casey Cage has the in McDonald, Tennessee there. So April 9th is when we're doing that show, man.
That's coming
so
up sooner than I thought.
Yeah, face to face, I get to meet you, man. So a couple weeks from now. So I'm really, really stoked. Because how far are you from McDonald?
About 2.5 hours, I think. It's not too bad.
Okay, it's not too bad, man. So I look forward to it, bro. We got to get a little video and put it out.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else coming up here? You got anything Mania Week coming up here? You booked anywhere?
Nope. You know, it's one of those weeks. First of all, my daughter does competition cheer. She's 5 years old. Her last cheer competition for the season is April 2nd. I've come to a point in my life where I will not sacrifice time with my family to go be at some wrestling show. But April 3rd, I get a chance to go to Burlington, North Carolina, do this big tent ministry thing with a good friend of mine. So that's all I got this weekend, being a cheer dad and and getting to share Jesus to the world. So, and then you mentioned the one in April. I got a stacked schedule, basically booked all the way up going into July now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm a lot of indie stuff coming up, Oklahoma, all over the place. I'm really stoked about just getting a chance to work indies. I'm doing some seminars, sharing my knowledge to this younger generation. And I'm just hoping I can pass on this love that I have for this business.
So real quick, I've seen you doing the whole test of strength stuff with bending bars and all that. Like, first of all, wow. Second of all, what's the context behind that?
So Jeff Terrell, a good buddy of mine now, we met because a few years back after the tweet had went out, I went on Nikita's ministry show, you know, Man Up, his little conversation show on Truth Network.
Yep.
He interviewed me and Jeff was there. Jeff had known Nikita for some time. Jeff and I just connected, and over the past few years became good friends. And because of COVID, he was shut down. But he runs an organization called Faith Force. He's a good Christian man. He'd come from like the years of the Power Team. Bro, the funny thing is, so that event came up there we did at that church a couple weeks back. And I was like, Jeff, I've never done any of this. I've never bent a bar, tore a phone book, broke cinder blocks. And he goes, brother, just come to my house. And I was like, okay. I go to his house and he just kind of shows me. There's really no tricks to it. I mean, you have to use your size, but there is like little things you can do. And it's not gimmicked. Like, people are like, is this stuff gimmicked up? No, dude, it's real. So I was like, I tried a few things. He goes, all right, brother, well, I'll see you tomorrow. So we go into this church and I'm thinking, this is crazy, man. But, you know, his ministry is that. We go in and do tests of strength for these youth groups or churches. And I broke cinder blocks. I broke a bat, been a bar, and then I laid down on a literal bed of nails. So there's probably 500 nails spread out on this thing.
Yeah,
so
dispersed.
And I mean, I had nice pinpricks in my chest, but it was weird. My mom's there freaking out. But then we share the gospel. We share the gospel with these youth groups. I mean, it was a big turnout. And so we got another one coming up May May 15th and actually close to my hometown, Hickory, North Carolina. So Jeff's, that's his ministry, dude. And to be a part of that, I was like, God, this is ridiculous. I'm a carny now, you know? But it's so cool because, like I said, it's the stuff I enjoy. I'm not beating my body up. I'm getting to act a fool in front of these kids and then just open them up and share Jesus, dude. So it's neat.
That's awesome. That is really cool. So where can we find you on social media, and how can people get a hold of you?
All right, man. Instagram at @CWLell_Gunner. So that's my Instagram and my Twitter page. I have a YouTube channel, Chad Lell, my real name, and that's mainly just daily devotionals I share. I do have a Getter account. I'm not on it too much, but it's the same. CWLL_Gunner, because one day Twitter will probably ban me, so I figure I might have a backup.
They banned Drake, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I know I looked for him the other day. I was like, nope, I think he got kicked off. But anyway, those are my social media accounts. I mean, I post my wrestling stuff on there, my ministry stuff. Just a dabble of my life that I just put on there. I'm not ashamed of anything I do outside of the wrestling business, and that's just where I am. So if people want to email me too, I mean, if you got questions or something, my email is shatterglass 6682 @gmail.com. I'm down to hear people's thoughts or, you know, talk about whatever you guys on your mind. So
good deal. Well, as always, brother, I appreciate you being here. So thankful you gave me some time. It's good talking to you. I can't wait to meet you next month. But yeah, really appreciate you doing the show for me.
Absolutely, Rob. You're a blessing, man. I appreciate you too.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with my friend Chad Lell, Gunner, working the indies, working hard, making that money, and loving Christ. And if he's ever going to be in your area, definitely go to some of the events he's at, or find out where he's going to be, and you know, go meet the man for yourself. We'll be back tomorrow, day 3 of Rad Mania 4, which, you know, I actually forgot what it was. Oh, Drake. He's going to kill me. Day 3, Rad Mania 4. Drake Wirtz and I are watching the match from WrestleMania 8 between Roddy Piper and Bret the Hitman Hart, and Drake was live there in attendance for that show, so that will be a pretty interesting match to watch. So, until then, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.